You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
MB on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Thanks for joining us on this Monday morning, peek-a-bit season. We're talking about horse racing. We're talking about practice. We're talking about NFL practices. Talking about NHL, where the Dallas Stars had so far the victory of any playoffs of the NBA or NHL. On Saturday night, incredible Game 7 finish out there in Dallas, down 2-0, a hat trick in the third period by a guy who was traded from the Avalanche to the Stars. That's the good stuff right there. Basketball's been good, too. I think probably Knicks Pistons, the 11-1 run, Jalen Brunson's three. For me, that's your moment of the playoffs so far. New moments tonight. Can the Knicks hang with the Boston Celtics? Spoiler, no, they can't. But we'll watch. We'll see what happens as we march towards the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup. And you'll hear select Washington Capitals playoff games right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. But we're looking ahead to Commanders season as well, home of the Commanders. I don't know if you saw the video, great video circulating over the weekend. The Eagles did behind the scenes in the Eagles draft day room. Their GM, Howie Roseman, loves to trade. He loves making moves. He called Adam Peters asking about trading up into the Commanders pick. He ended up trading up into the Chiefs pick. He calls it about trading up into the Commanders pick. And you hear him say on the phone, "Oh, yeah, I could call you every year. It's our annual tradition. Let's make deals." He hangs up and he said Adam Peters told him there's an in-the-division tax you got to pay. Then the Commanders select Connerly, though. He says, great pick. He gets his guy, Jihad Campbell of Alabama, who I think will be a great linebacker. Excellent selection. I know that everybody wanted the trade back, and I certainly am not opposed to trade back. I do think, though, that the Chiefs were going offensive lineman the whole way at 31. If the Commanders had flipped back to 32, we don't know if the Chiefs would have taken Josh Connerly, right? And then whatever, if that's the guy you wanted, whatever later round pick you get, it's not worth it if you lose your guy in the first round. I think knowing the board, knowing the Chiefs wanted to go offensive lineman, I agree that that was not the move to make there, to slide back for a late round pick in that moment. Not worth it, because you want your guy, and I'm beating the drum harder than most. I love drafting an offensive lineman. I love offensive linemen. I love building teams around the offensive line, especially when you've already got a Jaden Daniels. So certainly no objection here from me. They get their guy. They don't get picks later in the draft. I think if you could have moved into the start of day two, all right, now you're talking about a bigger haul. Now you're talking about, can you bring in a third-round pick or a compensatory third-round pick or something like that. All right, now we're talking, because now there's still talent there. But I don't think it would have been worth it to chance it, knowing the Chiefs, who were two picks away, were pretty set on drafting an offensive lineman after what happened to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, which I think would inform a lot of teams' draft day plans going forward. The Rams, I don't think we talk about the Rams enough. I think the Rams are very much in the hunt in the NFC this year. Here's Sean McVay talking the other day about his quarterback, Matthew Stafford, and his level of play coming into this year.
I think he came out of this season feeling really good physically. And one of the things that I think is a tremendous credit to him, Adam, you look at the playoff games that he's played in with us, the four his first year where he goes 4-0, leads us to a Super Bowl. You go to the 23 season, he did everything in his power to try to will us to a victory against an excellent Detroit football team in 23. And then this past year, he balls against Minnesota, and he does his thing against Philadelphia. And so we have a chance with him every time he's at the switch. And love working with him. And I think he's got he can play as long as he wants. But fortunately, I'm hoping it's a couple more years.
That's Sean McVay. You remember him. He's part of the 2013 Washington coaching staff that gets mentioned from time to time around here. It's all right. We got a guy now. We got Jaden Daniels now. Do we want to go down the Dan Quinn side road? Sure. It's bit season. I was telling some people this the other day, because I was not super pro Dan Quinn being hired. That was very much my take. And since then, a lot of people have been like, yo, MP, when are you going to eat your words? You were wrong. And here's the thing. I'm kind of not ready to do it yet. I kind of don't think we're there yet. If Dan Quinn in Atlanta, amazing, when Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator. The wheels fell off shortly afterward. Hopefully, Cliff Kingsbury stays for a long time. I worry this is Cliff Kingsbury's last season in Washington. At that point, I'm going to start judging Dan Quinn. And I know that's a long game, right? That's a long game to play. But I do think that's a hurdle that's going to need to be surmounted before I feel totally good about having Dan Quinn as the head coach, is knowing that you're going to have the right guy flipping the switch offensively. And from a defensive perspective, I'm expecting, you know, this defense to regress. And so he's got a chance to prove me wrong as a defensive coach this year. But he's got a chance to prove me wrong as a head coach once Cliff Kingsbury leaves. I really do think the jury's still out. I know everybody wants an instant opinion. And, I hate doing this because Dan Quinn is way better than Ron Rivera. And Dan Quinn's not the general manager of the team, which makes him way better than Ron Rivera. But it needs to be noted, Ron Rivera had a ton of success his first year here, slid into the playoffs, and had the Taylor Heinicke game, right? Not the same as these guys. Not at all. It's not the same at all. But I do think we're going to need to wait until Dan Quinn has to replace offensive coordinators to fully get a measure of the Dan Quinn era, to fully get a measure of how he is as the Washington Commanders head coach. And so y'all could call that me ducking if you want. I'm fine with that. But I don't think you can say I was wrong after one season. Sometimes I'm wrong. When I'm wrong, I eat my hat on this show. Nobody admits they're wrong better than MP of major radio personalities in Richmond, Virginia. I'll hang my hat on that. Nobody says they're wrong more than me and admits it. I'm not willing to admit I'm wrong here, I guess is what this comes down to. I'm not ready to say that. I just don't think we know for sure that Dan Quinn is the long-term answer as the Washington Commanders head coach. And we may not know for a couple of years until we see how he replaces the offensive coordinator, how he develops a defense that is under-talented compared to the rest of the division, right? On paper, this is not a defense that strikes fear in the heart of the rest of the division. The Eagles' defense is definitively better. I think on paper, the Cowboys' defense is at least as good, if not better, especially when Micah Parsons is healthy. I think the Giants have a menacing defensive line coming this year. Does it make them better? I don't know. But I think you could make a case, talent-wise, this is the fourth best defense in the NFC East. I am not making the case and will not make the case that this is the fourth best team in the NFC East. It's not. It's the second best team in the NFC East. They're right behind Philly. And we went over Rich Eisen's power rankings the other day. Rich Eisen has them at 2 in the league right behind Philly. That's defensible. And this is a team with an incredibly bright future. I'm just saying, I think there are still big Dan Quinn questions yet to be resolved. It may take a couple of years before we get those questions resolved. We got all offseason to talk about that, though. We got years to talk about that, though. Rams. I think the Rams are going to be a really good team this year. You heard Sean McVay reflecting back and right. When do you cut bait with a veteran quarterback, right? When do you sense the slide is coming and get ahead of that and start developing the next guy? He says, I don't think we're there yet with Matthew Stafford. And by the way, I think he's right. The Rams were arguably the second closest team to winning the Super Bowl this past year. took Philly down to the finish. I think would have beaten Washington and LA. I think could have beaten the Chiefs. I think there's a case to be made that was the second best team in the playoffs. And so I'm riding with my guy, Sean McVay. You know, he's always been my guy. But I agree, Matthew Stafford, the day will come and we have that discussion. Is Matthew Stafford losing his edge? I don't think we were there last year on a year where he was coming back from injury as well. So I got the Rams down as a dangerous team. I think I'm going Eagles, Bills, Rams is my top three entering the year. I do think the Chiefs will fall off a bit. If it's not this year for the Bills, their Kirsten is not going to happen, y'all. Sorry, Buffalo. This is the Bills' chance this year with the Chiefs reeling again, late draft pick again, the roster getting a little bit older and creakier off of another long season, the Bills upgrading again, the Bills with a talented roster again. If they can't do it this year, they're not going to do it. I'll say that. Now, a lot of other good teams in the AFC too, and certainly Baltimore wants another bite at that apple as well. A lot of people high on Denver. I'm not, but a lot of people are. Good for them. I can't talk too much crap. Blaine's going to be in here Wednesday doing Squirrels pregame. I want to make sure we maintain good relationships there. Should be a fun season. It gets me excited. Gets me excited thinking about it. We'll keep this show going. We'll count you down to noon. That's when AWOD's live at Capitol Ale House. We'll do it all on the other side of this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM Monday show. Flying towards 11 o'clock, another hour with you then. AWOD takes over at noon. Always looking forward to his Monday show from Capitol Ale House. He'll get you ready. Caps back in action tomorrow night. Squirrels back in action tomorrow night, coming off a weekend where they won 2 of 3 and a respectable second place finish in Sunday's game. That's the place in horse racing parlance. 5-4 loss to Somerset. Second place finish in the Sunday matinee on Star Wars Day at the Diamond. Star Wars Day gets bigger every year. I don't know when that started. I've kind of like always known it as a thing. It's a big, big thing now. I get that. And I like Star Wars. Like somewhere along the way, that became like a full-on cultural touchstone. Like I know today's Cinco de Mayo. I would not surprise me if people go harder on Star Wars Day now, like average in America, than on Cinco de Mayo. I don't go hard for either. I'll have a margarita tonight. I'll have a taco tonight. I'll do my part to celebrate. But I feel like Star Wars Day has crossed into like, it's a second tier American holiday now. Like Star Wars Day is more of a holiday than Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, Arbor Day. It's beating those.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
In the holiday rankings. And coming right on the heels of the Kentucky Derby, coming right on the heels of May Day, we're in a festive season, I guess is what I'm saying. A festive time of year, and we're happy you chose to spend it with us. Derby Bill passes us along here. 147,406 on hand to watch the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. $349 million wagered across the day. Sovereignty, your winner at 7-1. Odds. That is a lot of people. They always show the scenes as a lot of people. F1 was in Miami yesterday. Look at that. As a lot of people. Those are big crowds, big to-dos everywhere they go. And the Kentucky Derby, no exception. I always go back and forth. Like, is that a bucket list item for me? Like, where does that stack up? Because you've also got the Indy 500, which is coming up at the end of the month. that's for a lot of people a bucket list item. I think the Masters is probably my number one bucket list. I've never been to. I've never been to the Masters, Indy 500, or the Kentucky Derby. All right, since we're off the rails, I'll tell my Indy 500 story because I drove through there one weekend. So I graduate from college at the University of Kansas. I've got an internship in D.C. with the Washington Nationals. That's how I moved out here. Spent a year working at RFK Stadium writing about the Washington Nationals. And so I am, you know, whatever I am, 22 years old, 21 years old. Right now, y'all, I'm 40. I don't plan anything. I'm not the world's greatest at planning ahead. That's not really my style. I was not better at it at age 22, I guess is where I'm going with this. And so load all my stuff in my Honda Accord, load all my earthly possessions, time to go make a new life, driving out to Washington, D.C. I just figure I drive until I get tired, grab a hotel, drive the rest of the way in the morning. I don't really know how hotels work. I just like, I know you can get a hotel reservation. I'm not oblivious to that fact. But I also think, like, in my brain, like, you can also just show up at a hotel, be like, I'd like to stay here tonight, and they get you a room. Is that ridiculous? I don't, like, I know nobody does that now. Like, everything's reservations now, I think. Sometimes I get day of reservations, but I've never, this is the only time in my life I've ever, like, walked into a hotel and been like, I'd like a reservation, please. And then, you know, like, figured the process would start there. I've never done that since. So I'm driving. It's probably 1:30 in the morning. I was younger. I could stay up later. And I pull off the road in Indianapolis. And so, yeah, I just find off the highway, find the hotel, first hotel, Holiday Inn Express. Which, great. That is my price point of hotel, at the time, now, probably forever. Go in. I'd like a room. The guy laughs at me in my face, like, oh, he goes, son, it's the Indy 500 weekend. There's not a hotel within 50 miles of here. Oh, so now we got a situation. So I say, what should I do? And he said, I don't know, but you're not going to find a hotel room anywhere in this city. This city being Indianapolis, a pretty big city. So that's discouraging. So I'm like, I get back in the car and drive, I guess. I'm pretty tired at this point. Like, I kind of driven until my gas tank had hit E. So I'm now like 20 minutes outside of Indianapolis. Stop again off the highway. I forget what it is. May have been a Super 8 or something like that. You got any rooms? We do not have any rooms. It's the Indy 500 thing? The Indy 500 thing, yeah. Every room is full. There's another hotel on the other side of the road, and it's called the Motel Deluxe. And it looks like a dude's house with a couple extra bedrooms. And I drive over there, and I ring the doorbell, and I wake up the guy, and he comes downstairs, and long story short, there were rooms available at the Motel Deluxe. And rooms were available at the Motel Deluxe at the surprisingly non-deluxe rate. I think it was $40 for the night, and I did not sleep a wink at the Motel Deluxe that night. That's my hotel experience of not reserving a room, on Indy 500 weekend in Indianapolis. Maybe I'll go back sometime. Maybe I'll have a better experience. Indy 500, I've done so many NASCARs. I don't know if Indy 500 would be cool. I don't know that that's a bucket list for me. I do think, like, Formula One, like Monaco or one of those, that seems cool. That's probably high up on the list. I think Kentucky Derby would be fun. It's, you know, it's all the people. It's the energy. It's the enthusiasm. I don't love the idea of leaving after the Kentucky Derby. Like, because you see, like, the race is over. Like, whoosh, everybody's out of there. That's the part that gets me. Like, I don't need to be sitting in a Louisville parking lot for 7 hours, which I'm guessing is what happens there. I've left games at FedEx Field before. I know what it's like to sit in a parking lot for a long time and wait to leave a sporting facility. That's not my scene. I get big time road rage just sitting in traffic. I would imagine the post Kentucky Derby traffic is like as big as it is. And it's also like, Are there people who leave the Derby early? Like, could you do that? Because it to me, it feels like the whole point is that 2 minutes. You can't leave 1 minute into the Kentucky Derby. It's a 2 minute race. That's not going to get you anywhere. You don't leave before the Kentucky Derby. That's the whole reason you're there. You missed it. You just went and bought some really expensive mint juleps and then came home. There's no like sneak out early path at the Kentucky Derby, I don't think. And I don't want to be stuck in that traffic after the Kentucky Derby. Maybe just hang out there for a while. Maybe just camp out at Churchill Downs for a few hours, have some more mint juleps. I don't know if they let you do that or not. A lot of questions answered here in my very hypothetical bucket list trip to the Kentucky Derby. Let me tell you, it's not hypothetical. We're going to keep making radio this morning. It's a Monday morning. It is peak bit season. We're hanging out with you. I love bit season radio. Trey Wilson tomorrow, Tuesdays with Trey. Always fun. Abbreviated Wednesday show for the Flying Squirrels with you all week long. Capitals playoff hockey starts tomorrow night against Carolina. Great series on deck. We'll talk puck, we'll talk football, we'll do it all. On the other side, you're listening to Nights in the Fan at 105.1 FM worldwide on the Odyssey app. Hour number two underway. We'll get you to A-Wide Radio at noon. He is live at Capitol Ale House. That's the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. No Flying Squirrels tonight. They return tomorrow off a wildly successful weekend homestand. Winners of 2 out of 3 and the place in horse racing parlance in Sunday's matinee game. That'll pay if you had them to place. If you had them to show, show was unlikely in yesterday's game as there were only 2 participants, the Squirrels and the Baby Yanks of Somerset. We hate seeing nice things happen to any Yankees, big or little, but they were the 5-4 winners yesterday. Know who's talking tonight. They're still on hiatus until the end of the month. I don't get steamed up for UVA lacrosse talk or UVA baseball talk or whatever. So I'm not going to miss that, but I am going to miss their chance to weigh in on Bryce freaking Perkins. You remember him. He was UVA's quarterback for a minute. Bounced around in the league, did a couple practice squads, was with the Rams. Well, he is now in the UFL. He is with the Michigan Panthers. Are there Panthers in Michigan? That is an important question that I am unqualified to answer. I am unclear why. I'm going to Google that right now. It didn't catch me at the time. I was like, Michigan Panthers. But are there Panthers in Michigan? Okay, Google says, while there have been confirmed sightings of cougars in Michigan since 2008, there is no evidence of a breeding population. Panther is a common name for cougars. While cougars were historically native to Michigan, they were wiped out by the early 1900s. I guess we have to allow it. Bryce Perkins, he's a Michigan Panther. Is weird. It sounds weird saying it. But 3 touchdowns yesterday against the DC Defenders. We hate seeing that because we ride for the DC Defenders, the pride of Audi Field. Now, that said, the highlight reel is spectacular if you get a chance to see it. Bryce Perkins is actually really, really fun to watch yesterday. The highlights are cool. He's shaking off sacks. He's making magic. He's throwing touchdown passes. Good for Bryce Perkins to do it in the middle of bit season. Gets you some attention, gets you some airtime. Maybe gets him another look at the league. Obviously, that's where everybody wants to get back to. We'll see if he does or not. We had Moose Johnson runs the UFL. We had him during Bud Light Big Game Week when we were down in New Orleans. He was great to talk to. He was ragging on the Cowboys, which I love. In that respectful way that former players do. Like, there's tiers of former players. Like, Emmitt Smith could be like, I don't know what Jerry Jones is thinking. That's a dumb move. Like, that's okay. He could say that. Michael Irvin can say that. That second tier of, like, mostly famous Cowboys guys. Like, they do it respectfully. I loved my time there. Like, the old Redskins perfected this. The, like, they just don't seem to want it as badly as we wanted it. You know, that was always a famous, like the 2018, Comcast Sportsnet post-game lie. Like, right, it's just like saying, you know, not even Santana Moss yet, because these guys who used to play, like, man, back in my day, we would have been ashamed of that. Like, we wouldn't have wanted to show our faces. Like, boy, you think these guys want to show their face? I don't think they want to show their faces either. But Bryce Perkins, rolling in the UFL. Shout out to him. That's as close as we'll get to UVA football talk today. Unless we're talking about the oldest rivalry in the South. Everybody has weighed in now on Bill Belichick's girlfriend. How do I know that? I know that because Charles Barkley has now weighed in on Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
Well, this is a very slippery subject for me because Bill's one of my really good friends. I'm not sure what's going on. You know, he's been a great friend for me for a long time. We've been friends since he coached for the Browns. I think he got to be very careful right now. This is starting to be on a very slippery slope. He's the greatest football coach ever for him and Nick Saban, for college Nick Saban, for Bill, the NFL. Yeah, I from what I'm hearing, it's starting to be a very slippery slope. And I never talk about people's personal relationship. That's another rule I got. But I will admit, I'm a little concerned with some of the stuff that's going on. And I might actually reach out to him and make sure everything's good. But I am concerned from what I'm hearing. Because, it's not a good look right now. I'll admit that.
I love the lengths to which Charles Barkley will go to not talk about basketball during NBA on CNT. He would dot Saturday. He dialed in on that Stars Avs game, getting updates on that. Hey, doing the Bill Belichick girlfriend talk. Charles and Bill, I think, is a good friendship. Like, that's we do the, like, would you like to have three, you could have lunch with three people, living or dead. Who are they? Living is the correct choice, by the way, on that. Dead people wouldn't be fun to eat with. But I think Charles Barkley and Bill Belichick would actually be a fun table. The fourth is not his girlfriend, though. She is not allowed to be the fourth. That's going to kill the vibe there of the whole place. She seems to still be everywhere, handling everything for him. And now he is reportedly seeking external PR assistance, which is wild because he's a college football coach now. And college and pros are a little bit different. Like, pro football, the Commanders have a whole communication staff and apparatus that do a very good job. And their job is to, coordinate the interviews, and they give the rookies training in giving interviews. And they do a good job on that. But on the whole, they're there to facilitate. Like, they're not there to do crisis management. Most college PR staffs, SID, sports information staffs, do generally run college football programs with a heavy hand. Like, Bill Belichick has all the help he needs in-house. I don't know if he doesn't trust him, doesn't want him, wants his people, whatever, or just need, like, if they're burned out on the girlfriend, which seems very possible as well. Here could be another outcome for sure. It's a strange situation. He should have everything he needs there. But you get, like, the Charles Barkley, like, that's like measured Charles Barkley, like, is a bad look. I got to admit that. Ernie. It's a bad look. It's a terrible look. And he hasn't coached a game yet. And also, I don't think it's a given he's going to be successful this year. I think that's the other thing. Like, I think he would have been really well served to lay low. Hey, I'm learning the college game. There could be a learning curve here. We're going to take it one game at a time. We're gonna see how we do this year. But he's everywhere now, and he's going to be on national TV for all these games. I think he's in a spot where he could conceivably be one and done. If this thing's a true disaster, like if she's on the sideline or in the stadium during games and they're showing her all the time, I think this could absolutely be a situation where he's one and done now. I wasn't opposed to it at the time. You're doing something. It's the NIL era. Everybody's trying to figure out what to do. But boy, they got to figure out a way to put the kibosh on this, and really, really quickly at UNC. Another football team. It's Monday. It's MP on the mic, by the way. Welcome aboard. Another football team that has some splaining to do is the Cleveland Browns, who now have Shedeur Sanders as part of their rotation and training camp and need to figure out what to do with him. Of course, we're still analyzing the downfall of his draft stock as well. That discussion continues. Here's our guy, Albert Breer, on Shedeur Sanders.
The Giants won. They give players an install, and there are mistakes intentionally put in the install, and he didn't catch them and got called on it, and it didn't go well after that. There was another team that he sat down with.
What do you mean it didn't go well after that?
So, he was pissed that they did that to him.
He counter confronted
them. The same thing they do to every other quarterback prospect. They did that to him. They slide in a mistake to see if you catch it.
Right. And so,
because you're the quarterback.
But he didn't take it as a correction. He took it as like he got pissed just off.
That's Albert Breer on Shedeur Sanders draft interview there with the Giants, who, all right, on the one hand, clearly Shedeur burned a ton of bridges in the pre-draft process. Like, I'm not going to suggest otherwise on that at all. He ended up in a bad space and didn't have any friends on the slide either. Like, nobody was there to backstop and be like, yeah, there's value there. We'll take him. He went all the way down. On the other, you may remember the Giants were the team who did the offseason Hard Knocks last year. And part of that, they showed their pre-draft interview with Jaden Daniels. And if you remember, the way that was edited, at least on TV, the Giants made Jaden Daniels look kind of dumb in his interview, like he was forgetting the things, like he couldn't keep track of stuff. So this could be a process problem for the Giants. The problem is the Giants have not earned the benefit of any doubts on this sort of thing. The Giants haven't, like, if you're talking about like the Steelers or the Packers, you know, one of these respected, even the Eagles, like, they had a bad experience with Shedeur. They do a thing with all the quarterbacks, and he didn't take it well. But it's the team that also made Jaden Daniels look foolish last year. And by the way, Jaden Daniels is pretty smart, is a thing I've picked up from my time with Jaden Daniels so far. So I'm prepared to point the finger both ways here. I'm going to point the finger and pull the thumb on this one in the Shedeur Sanders and the Giants pre-draft situation. I do think the Giants ended up with a good draft. I am incredibly excited for that quarterback room this year with Russell Wilson, with Tommy DeVito, with Jameis Winston. You're not going to get a better collection of personalities in a quarterback room there. Cleveland's got their situation. What do you do with Shedeur Sanders? I think you've been given a gift. I think you say he's on the practice squad this year, right? We're going to work him, send him to the practice squad. We think he's got potential. We're not touching it this year. I think it's too dangerous to touch it this year. I really do. I don't think it's wise for them to give Shedeur Sanders snaps this year. I just think it opens up too much of a, you know, when's he going to come in? Is everybody looking over? You know, how are you going to manage the roster spots? How are you going to manage practice snaps? I think you say he's getting scout team snaps this year. And we're excited to go into next offseason with him and see what he grows into. I don't think you owe him more than that. I don't think you need more than that. I do think the Browns are going to have a little more attention than they would have otherwise. That's for sure. As we get in training camp, schedule release coming in a couple weeks, as per the announcement of this year's schedule, which was made at the draft, which I get steamed up for the schedule release. I do like a good schedule release, just saying. All right, we got about 45 minutes left with you before we kick it over to AWOD Radio. It's a Monday, no Squirrels baseball tonight. Cap schedule released. They start tomorrow against the Canes. Tush Push, Bannett. That's back on the table. We're back with more after this. You're listening to Night in the Fan. 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. I told you before the break that the Tush Push back in danger. We had the league meetings, we had the rules meetings, we had the proposal from the Green Bay Packers to ban the Tush Push, and it failed. It did not get enough votes, which you'd think would be the end of that. But apparently, per sources, Commissioner Roger Goodell is in favor of banning the Tush Push and plans to reintroduce the proposed ban at a scheduled meeting of the NFL owners later this month. Mark Maskey in the Washington Post. The owners are scheduled to meet and consider a revised proposal that would prohibit a teammate from pushing or pulling a ball carrier anywhere on the field, a person familiar with the situation said. The reworked proposal would ban the quarterback sneak, as popularized, of course, by the Philadelphia Eagles, but it would go further than that and also prohibit offensive linemen from running down the field to shove a ball carrier forward for extra yards in a pileup at the end of the play. Now, I guess you, in doing that, you say, oh, this isn't about the Eagles. This isn't about the tush push. We're trying to get rugby out of the game here, basically. I do think it's funny because I think of AWOT as a football traditionalist, largely, right, in a lot of things. I think most people that I've heard from are, yeah, get it out of there. It's got no place. It's not a football play. Football's origins are very much rugby. Football's origins are like people died and Teddy Roosevelt was going to ban football. So they like cleaned it up a little bit. And then, you know, now we've got the forward pass. Football's a violent sport. I'm not opposed to taking violence out of football. I'd hate for that to be the conclusion people come to here. MP wants to go back to the leather helmet days where people lose teeth playing football. That's not the conclusion here. But it's interesting to me to hear so many football junkies and football purists. That play has no place in football. That there's no room for that in football, in my sport. That's all our sport was for 80 years. And that's not a compelling argument to keep it. I certainly get that. But it is part of the game, running the football, pushing guys, tugging, pulling. It is part of the game. It's part of football. And to me, I don't see, there's been no documented health risks to the play, injury risks to the play. I think the people who want it out just genuinely hate that the Eagles do it and it always works. And genuinely don't like that element of it. I've yet to be convinced otherwise. I'm open to argument. If somebody wants to open up that argument, I'm game to hear them out. I've yet to hear a compelling argument for removing the tush push that's not basically veiled like it annoys me that the Eagles are really good at it. It's not a football play, right? Not all football plays have to be aesthetically pleasing. Football is not like a sport that was designed to be beautiful on television. It's part of the game is the physical strength of moving the ball from one side to the other. And nobody's saying let's turn football into rugby. But I also think until every team gets good at the tush push, it feels unfair to me to ban one team doing the tush push, or banning everybody from doing the tush push because one or two teams are good at it. Because not every team's good at the tush push. Now, I'll throw other things on too, lest I be accused of being from the Stone Age back here. I believe they should put chips in the football to accurately mark where the ball should be spotted at the end of any given play. I think it's insane. It's 2025. We have artificial intelligence. We put Katy Perry in space. And you're telling me we can't accurately spot a football, right? We had situation with Josh Allen with the Bills in the AFC title game this year. We have spotting situations all over the league regularly. You're telling me we can't put a chip in the ball to figure this thing out? I think we can. I think our smartest people, we've invented Rogaine, we've invented Viagra, and that was like 30 years ago, and we still cannot accurately spot the football at the end of a regulation American football play. I think that's an issue to me. That's where I would turn my ire first before we talk about banning a play that a couple teams run well, and one team runs really well, and yes, they won the Super Bowl. Get over it and figure out how to stop them. Get over me. And people say, oh, the Eagles break the rules too. Oh, you know, they're lining up in the wrong spot. That needs to be called too. But that's not grounds for removing an entire play from the playbook. Guy pushes off. We don't say ban the forward pass. I don't think that there's a comparable here in terms of like a thing that only one team has done well, and the whole league's like, we got to stop them from doing that thing. I don't remember at the peak, and maybe I'm remembering wrong. Remember the Wildcat, right? When Colin Kaepernick was running the Wildcat, and it was untouchable, and RG3 had the read option. And I don't remember anybody being like, we got to ban that from the game. There was a lot of legislating around it. I think the most contentious part was when the quarterback's running, does he still have quarterback protections, right? You remember for a few years that was modified to no, he does not. You can whail that guy. You can tackle him if you think he's got the ball and he's a ball carrier, which I think was fair. I think if you're going to have that's a Lamar thing, right? Lamar runs the ball. He gets popped like a running back. I don't think you need to change those rules. I don't think you need to let the quarterback have quarterback protections while he's a running back. But I don't remember anybody saying, you got to ban the Wildcat. This is bad for football. This is not a football play. It's not what football is supposed to look like. It's been weird to me. So the tush push ban proposal is back, Mark Metzke says, at the Washington Post. He says it was believed that 16 teams were in favor of the original proposal made by the Green Bay Packers when the owners discussed the issue during the annual league meeting in late March and early April in Palm Beach, Florida. That means supporters of the proposed ban must secure 8 more votes for it to be enacted. 24 votes to enact the proposal. There was concern the proposal was aimed too directly at the Eagles and to a lesser extent the Bills, who have also used the play. So this new proposal bans pushing the ball carrier anywhere on the field. So you think about a lot of times a running back gets tied up and the offensive lineman will come shove him for a few extra yards. That would be banned here under this proposal, which reportedly, per the reports, has the support of Commissioner Roger Goodell, who is interested in the TV product. I'm not debating that's a bad TV product, right? That's not the debate we're having. I don't think the tush push is good TV. I think it's really good football, though. There's always that push and pull. The NFL has led the way in will this look good on TV or not when it determines whether to do things. I don't think that should be the prevailing consideration for a football play, for a sport, right? It's an entertainment product, but it's also a sport, and we want it to be conducted fairly and according to a set of consistent rules. I would vote against it. I think the tush push should continue to be allowed. I think offensive linemen pushing guys should continue to be allowed. I think football's a rough sport, and it's okay to retain elements of that, even as we move towards this 7-on-7 future that we seem destined for. Let's stick with football a little bit. It's mid-season. We can always do football talk around here. I always love a little football talk. So let's stick with that. It's the Monday edition. MP on the mic. We're rolling you up towards noon. That's when AWOD takes over. He's at Capitol Ale House. Capitals Canes series starts on Tuesday night. That is tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Puck drop up in D.C. We'll get you ready for that. We'll take a spin around the NFL. We'll do it all. You're listening to 910.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Fan now 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app, bringing this home on a bit season Monday. Happy Cinco de Mayo out there. Not Mexican Independence Day. Don't fall for that one. It's not. But It's a day where you can drink margaritas and eat tacos. So it's not a bad day. It's actually a good day out there. So enjoy that. I think I'll be over at Wooden Iron tonight celebrating. As of course, is tradition, you know, Mexican holiday, go over to a nice sports bar over in Scott's Edition. AWOD will be at Capitol Ale House in a few. He'll take over for AWOD Radio. Hopefully he shares about the human horse racing Kentucky Derby he had. He was a part of over there at River City Roll over the weekend. That's great bit season content right there. We aspire to bit season content as good as a human Kentucky Derby horse race. Maybe we'll run that back for the Preakness in a couple weeks. I don't know. But that's a good bit. Love a good bit, especially this time of year, especially, you know, if it keeps us from talking about Bill Belichick's girlfriend for an extra few seconds, why not? We covered the horse racing. I did not cover. I put this on my topic list for today. We did not get to it, so we're getting to it now. Swimming. Katie Ledecky broke her own world record that she set in 2016 in Rio, which is insane. That's the women's 800 meter freestyle. She did the thing where, like, everybody else is swimming one direction, she's swimming the other direction. It's like, oh no, who's the person who fell behind? Oh no, she's the winner. She's just lapping everybody else. Those videos are so fun to watch, by the way. I love those. 2016, 9 years ago, breaks her own record in the women's 800 meter freestyle. Shout out to Katie Ledecky, one of the greats. When we do Mount Rushmore of DC athletes, it's always like DC athlete team sports, because whatever you've got, you have to make room for her. If you're gonna do like all DC athletes, she doesn't compete in DC. That's why, you know, I just feel like, you know, when we say DC sports Mount Rushmore, it's like players who are associated with the DC teams. But if we're doing like people from DC, it's her, and it's not close. Kind of like Secretariat's got to be on ours. Secretariat, by the way, Kentucky Derby stat over the weekend, was in the bloodline of every horse in this year's Kentucky Derby. They all trace back to Secretariat. Secretariat was busier in retirement than he was when he was an actual racehorse, is what I've learned from this weekend's Kentucky Derby. And the offspring doing well for themselves as well. That's a family you want to be in if you're a male horse, especially if you're running in the Derby, in the slop. So, exciting weekend. Man, I'm still buzzing over the best of the weekend for me. Got to be the Stars Jets finish Saturday night. That was fantastic. To reset, Pete DeBoer is the coach of the Dallas Stars, who he is entering the night. He was 8-0 in game sevens. They're trailing 2-0 to the Colorado Avalanche in the third period. And Mikko Rantanen, he was traded from Colorado to Dallas, scores a full hat trick in the third period. The Stars win the game. That's as good as you're going to get in sports right there. I love when you get the storylines, the excitement of the game, playoff hockey. It's the best. We're back in action tomorrow night. I'm fired up for that. I think a needed break. They came into the playoffs hurting a bit, at least a bit more than they should have, given that they essentially had the last month of the season off. I do think the rest will do him some good. Logan Thompson, ready to go, obviously. He'll be in net against a really good Carolina team. This is, you know, I said I wanted him to beat the Canadiens. I'm not taking for granted that they beat the Canadiens. That was important. That was good. But I do think this is the measure of if the Capitals are actually Stanley Cup good or not. This is the measure of, are they a team that's capable of winning? If they beat Carolina, point blank, they can beat anybody in hockey. Carolina's a legit cup contender. If they don't, that's okay too. It's been a phenomenal season. I hope they do. I'll be pulling for them. If they don't, still a phenomenal season. Still a lot to applaud there for the Capitals, and a bright future to build off of. And there at the end of the season, you got the quote from Ovi, "I'm not retiring," which... Some people interpret it to mean kind of period into the offseason. Some people are like, hey, right now. Whatever it is, I hope we get a farewell year from him to celebrate his contributions to the game. He is, and this is interesting, this is true. I verified this before he came on air. He is the leading goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League. So he's got that going for him, which is nice. And we'll watch him on the ice tomorrow night in Carolina. Squirrel's back on tomorrow night on the air, next week back in person. But the Flying Squirrels are right again. And I told you, I gave them the good vibes. I said this was going to happen. They're playing the Baby Yanks this weekend, so it's very important that they get right. Fantastic weekend for the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Starting Friday night, 8-7 extra innings win. Everson Arteaga with the walk-off single in the bottom of the 10th. We love a walk-off of any sort. And then on Saturday night, an hour 59, rapid, speedy Richmond Flying Squirrels game. Joe Whitman threw six perfect innings, first double-A win. Squirrels took a combined no-hitter into the ninth and then hit kind of their high watermark, 8-18, 8-19 after a 5-4 loss yesterday in the matinee. They head off to a road trip. They will be back home against Erie next week. And if you know anything about this program and the Flying Squirrel, we do not like Erie. That's the rivalry. So come ready next week. We got to plan an outing at the Squirrels game. AY and I will get on that. We got an outing to plan to the Caps game too. We got a lot of outings. It's bid season, but it's a busy season in the world of sports. You just don't know it by listening to this show, the show that devoted a segment to Bill Belichick's girlfriend, as we do. And the Tush Push, which the band's coming back. Roger Goodell gets what Roger Goodell wants. That's the takeaway of the Tush Push segment, not the future of the Tush Push. Roger Goodell has his fingerprints all over this product. If he doesn't want the Tush Push, they're not going to be a Tush Push. And it feels like he doesn't want one. He wants an aerial game. He wants a lot of passing, a lot of points, a lot of action. It's a good TV product. Some say it's the best TV product in the sports world, and I do not disagree with that. They do a phenomenal job with it. I would like to keep the Tush Push. I'm probably on the hardcore end of the fans, right? I get that the casual fans want to go all Big 12 and don't want to be watching dudes pushing each other in the behinds. I think until everybody gets good at it, there's strategy to it. I think there's a lot more ground to cover on that play. But we'll see how that shakes out in the coming weeks ahead. It's weird, though, because normally you get the rules changes and then we're done. You know he really wants this one if he's bringing it back for an extra discussion down the line, right? If Roger Goodell's like, I know everybody said no, but what if we voted again? Some LeVar Stoney casino vibes there, right? Okay, so everybody said no, but what if we asked again? It's the same question, we're just asking it again. This one's slightly different because they're banning offensive linemen running downfield and pushing guys as well. So there's lots to resolve there. We'll keep an eye on all that. Of course, NHL, NBA playoffs roll on. AWOD will keep you posted on that. The journey to the Triple Crown in horse racing. The second one's the least exciting one. But if Sovereignty wins the second one, the third one gets exciting. If Sovereignty doesn't win the second one, the third one is not exciting at all. That's horse racing. That's how it goes. We got a fun week ahead. Trey Wilson will join us tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Wednesday abbreviated show for a little 11 a.m. Squirrels Education Day baseball on the road. We'll figure out play Chesterfield. We'll make sure that gets accounted for. All right, that'll do it for us. We're going to take it over to Capitol Ale House. That's the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. That's where AWOD is. Look forward to hearing from him for the next 3 hours. We'll crosstalk it at 12:15. Set your watch, set a reminder, set an alarm. Tell Microsoft Outlook, don't let you miss it. Back tomorrow, looking forward to it. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.